If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and presence of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Everything in Existence is Energy, whether absolute or conditioned, revealing states of consciousness. So, if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and open the top of your crown chakra and connect as you bring that energy of the divine source field right down through your entire biosphere. Let's do that again. Open that connection like a column of light from your crown chakra in your imagination, connecting directly to source. Deep breath. And flood your biosphere with that source energy. Feel it tingle all the way down into your toes. And once more, let's do that again. Very consciously, with your intention, connect with the source. Deep breath. And bring that column of divine, all-present knowingness right down to the top of your head, flooding all of your subtle bodies with omnipresent light and awareness all the way down to your feet. And let's chant the sacred name of that manifestation of God that is beyond name and form such as we know it. But the vibration of hue resonates that absolute source as a vibration down into the mind. So take a deep breath and we'll chant it three times. You. And that sacred chant clears the mental body of static and all the stuff that we pick up as we move through the day, all the clutter. It just clears that field and allows a very clear place for you to receive whatever it is you would receive this evening. So we are literally energy. Energy expressing different states of consciousness. Animals, children, nature, everything in existence recognizes us by our energy. So if your dog or child dislikes a place or a person, maybe you'd better be careful too. Because they relate to the energy, not the words we speak, but the energy behind the words. Not the outer behavior, but the energy behind that behavior. So you can't fake anything with an animal or a child. They will read you very accurately. Now, let me ask you, what energy have you brought to the seminar this evening or this morning, wherever you happen to be on the planet? What energy have you brought to me as the host of this seminar? Just notice your present state of consciousness, your present attitude. And know that you will receive and be responded to according to your degree of openness or not. You decide, you see. So perhaps the most important lesson we are all in varying degrees of learning is becoming responsible for the energy we are releasing into the world and bringing into each other's lives. You know, we're all aware when someone is in a negative mood. Maybe they have a smile on their face, but you'll feel the latent hostility, or you'll feel like a hold of the energy. It's very uncomfortable to be in the presence of a person that is withholding their authentic state, when they're withholding energy, when they're stuffing it, when they're not communicating from a clear place. Oh, that feels awful. It's almost as if we feel like we have to hold with them until they work themselves through into clarity. And in a relationship, this is absolutely miserable. That's why it's so important for us to learn to own our state without projecting blame or criticism or making it someone else's fault or business. To take responsibility for your own state of being. That is genuine self-mastery. And to become any degree of enlightened and expressing of mastery, the first responsibility is to take responsibility and accountability for your state of energy and consciousness. So we each import and convey energy every second. We are transmitting the energy of our state of consciousness, of our moods, of our attitudes, and of our overall intention to the entirety of creation. Yes, the entirety of the collective creation is affected by our state of consciousness. So we literally are units of energy. Now, on a personal level, we embody and transmit the energy of our conditioning, our education, our experiences and our indoctrinations. The ego is identified as a specific energy. And the soul is also identified as a specific quality of energy and state of consciousness. The energy of our personal sense of being somehow special or different, or greater or lesser than another, is what we would define as the ego. Our energy of ambition, comparison, competition is also ego-driven. It's whatever we have bought into, labeled, and assumed as our personal sense of identity, as different and separate from that of anyone else. It has also been termed the false self. Now, that energy is one of constant discontent and dissatisfaction. It is one of agitation and combativeness, because it generates energy by exacerbating conflict. That's how it gets its feed, its payback, if you will. That's why when you find yourself being drawn into an argumentative situation, the more conscious you are, the more you can stop that egoic feeding frenzy before it grows into a massive argument. It takes great awareness to notice the state of consciousness of another person so you don't trigger their lower nature, their pain body. We trigger that pain body when we are not aware of where people are holding energies of issue on a particular topic. And that's why sometimes you'll have your child or your mate or a friend just explode seemingly for no apparent reason. Something you've done or said has triggered a subconscious area that has been blocked with unhealed energy. They're reacting out of the subconscious, and the minute they react and are triggered, they go entirely unconscious. They cannot hear you. You're wasting your breath. The minute a person is angry, they cannot hear you. They have literally become lost in their unconsciousness. So part of awareness is learning to read people's energy. We learn to read their energy, just like an animal can read your energy, or a child. And of course, now you see I'm starting to clear. Because one of the areas that we are the most blocked in, myself included at times, is feeling safe and revealing what you're really feeling, what you're really thinking, what you're really needing to say, but hesitate because you fear rejection or attack or alienation. And none of us want that. We all want love. And we're all afraid that when we are simply who we are, we're going to somehow be rejected. And that is what blocks authentic expression of your true state of energy and consciousness. So just be aware. You notice my throat start to tighten and close down, probably because I was clearing levels within myself, but also because I'm working with you spiritually. And we all have these areas that are posing challenges to our freedom of sense of being and expression. So, the egoic self
is never really content with that which is. It's absorbed in its own little world of self-involvement, which, of course, is very confining. It's very unpleasant in there, in the separated, closed-down self. And thus, it's incapable of experiencing genuine freedom or expression of love and peace and joy. These things are utterly foreign to the false self. So it is a form of self-imprisonment and limitation in one's own selfishness and pettiness. And it's also the state of being totally unconscious spiritually and asleep to genuine reality. So often people will refer to the physical dimension as the, quote, real world, and yet it contains nothing that is truly real at all. It is simply the projection of her collective unconsciousness and ignorance. Reality is inherent in it, much like butter is inherent and latent in cream, but requires some spiritual churning to bring it to the surface and reveal it. So, the only reality, bear in mind, the only reality that enters the physical dimension must do so through its only inlet, which is a conscious individual who has had some measure of contact with the soul, which is the true individuality with a capital I. Now, that contact, no matter how brief, always makes one more aware of the need to benefit and enhance the quality of life for others. It always brings forward the impetus to serve and to take more responsibility for one's life and behavior. That's the evidence of soul contact. And since that contact with one's authentic self or soul is very sporadic for many, most I would say, our collective projection we call the world is a place where ignorance and hence suffering prevails. So for any outer change in the physical world to manifest, it can only come through us as conscious and awakened individuals who are importing soul energy through their human vehicles, which would be our mind and thoughts and emotions and physical expressions. So we need to be vigilant in ever upgrading and improving and upping the ante in the quality of energy that we bring into our environments and relationships. It is left to us to take responsibility for directing our mind and our thoughts and our attention in positive expressions. So, the more we resist this call, really, of the soul to express its loving nature, the more we will suffer the karmic repercussions of dis-ease on some level. In the book Esoteric Healing, co-produced by Alice Bailey and the Tibetan master DK, every disease can be traced to blockages, irregularities, and imbalances in the flow of soul energy through the human bioorganism. The energies must flow harmoniously through the chakras, which in turn affect the physical endocrine system and glands, which are the physical counterparts to the etheric chakra system. The alignment and flow of energies shifts with each advancement spiritually. each expansion of consciousness or initiation affects how that energy is aligned and flows through your vehicles of expression. And that is one of the reasons, along with the planetary pollution, that so many people are ill and diseased today. The reason why so many advancing initiates become ill or develop diseases. This ease implies a lack of ease in the flow and distribution of energy. All energies are received and transmitted by means of the pranic body, which is also called the etheric body or energy body. It is the body of breath that is energized by our breath, and that is the blueprint of our overall energy. It reflects our stage of evolution, our stage of spiritual development, the stage of maturation or lack thereof of the chakra system, and also reflects the anomalies of energy and the blockages that prevent that flow to occur. So, the etheric energy body governs the physical flows of energy through our body and through our mind. The etheric connective lines of energy are called nadis in Sanskrit. And there are 72,000 nadis in the etheric body and 72,000 physical nerve channels in the nervous system that bring that energy of the soul down into the physical body. And that is what makes the 144,000 lines of energy that connect the divine with the human and make of us that which we would call the Christ or the Anointed One. So the energies flow down through these nadis into the nervous system and affect the brain and how we interpret and release the interpretation creatively into our environment. Because as we interpret something, so it becomes that to us in our experience. So everything exists as energy and is recognized universally by its energy signature and its quality of vibration of consciousness. Now, energy is basically of two types: the absolute, unconditioned energy of spirit or source field energy, and the energy that has become mixed and conditioned by the mind, mixed with and conditioned, let's say, by the mind. So the quantum field of unlimited potentiality and possibilities is, in a sense, hovering in a quiescent state, pregnant with possibilities as yet not animated. What animates this quantum field of absolute creative potential, causing it to come alive and respond by manifesting into form, is the energy of the observing mind. That's why in the teaching of becoming more mindful and learning to observe your thoughts rather than identifying with them, you automatically begin the process of purifying and dissolving the conditioning of the ego mind. So scientific experiments have been conducted which prove how the energy of different observers affects the formation process, as well as the success or failure of various scientific experiments. For example, if you have a very delicate scientific experiment being done in the presence of a person who has a negative attitude, doubts, has a jealousy where they would really like to see you fail, whatever that negativity may present, it can actually block the success of a scientific experiment or a business enterprise. A negative secretary in the old days when bosses had secretaries that typed letters for them. A negative secretary who was typing, or today using the computer to speak on behalf of her organization or her boss or his organization or his boss, such a person could undermine the success of a whole project. That's why when you hire people in a business, or you take on a partner in business, it's so important, again, to discern their energy. Are they going to be a team player or an antagonist? Are they going to undermine and undercut all possible success by a negative attitude, even if it's unexpressed? We have to become more and more aware. So Dr. Emoto, we've all seen him demonstrate this principle of the effects of our thoughts and words and intentions upon frozen water crystals. Now, when you take that into consideration, that we are basically 80% water in our human brains and physical composition, it's very easy to see how our energy and state of consciousness affects our health. You can also readily see why mantras can affect our state of consciousness and produce transformation when intoned correctly. So quantum physics has effectively proven that it is the observer that causes the quantum field, otherwise quiescent, to animate and take form. That also means that our focus of attention animates and takes form as the people and events in our life. That's what's so amazing, is that everything we experience is a state of consciousness and energy that we have created, allowed, promoted, produced, but generated out of our own self, and thus caused to manifest as our experiential reality. It also means that how we look at anything determines how it will respond and be experienced by us. So, the ancient rishis have described the divine God, or the source of all that is, as that which changes not, as the supreme absolute, changeless, attributeless, unmodifiable, sat, pure truth, beyond time, space, causality, name, form, or anything that the mind could conceive. Or, as the Bible puts it, that which is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. That in which we live and move and have our being. And quantum physics refers to this same source as the quantum field of consciousness, or the unified source field. Now, back at the turn of the 20th century, the Trans-Himalayan Mahatmas sent their emissary, H.P. Blavatsky, a Russian woman, to bridge the gap between Eastern esoteric science and Western intellectual understanding. Blavatsky brought to light valuable information directly from the archives of the Himalayan Brotherhood and presented them for the Western readers, students, scholars, for the very first time at the turn of the century, of the turn of the 20th century, in her books Isis Unveiled and The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1 and 2. And here the Mahatmas supervised and guided Blavatsky and later Helena Rorick and Alice Bailey in bringing to light through their books the synthesis between spirituality and science, the world of consciousness and the world of material manifestation. And overall, this body of information is referred to as esoteric science. H.P. Blavatsky and Colonel Olcott founded the Theosophical Society around 1875 or so, and Alice Bailey started the Arcane School around 1922 at the guidance of her master, the Master K.H., or Kuthumi, and she and her husband, Foster Bailey, had started this school, which, interestingly enough, was located in the United Nations building when I was a student, which I was for a number of years back in the early 70s. So, by these means, the opportunity for anyone who was interested to further study the teachings was made available. Two teachings that formerly were given out only by sacred oral tradition to initiates. At the time that the 15 or so volumes of the Alice Bailey books and the Agni Yoga books were being transcribed, the Master DK prophesied that these teachings, these esoteric teachings, formerly given only in secret to the initiates, would be given out over the radio starting in 1975. And this would lead to new revelations about the nature of God, new revelations as to the nature of the sun and solar energy, and that these revelations would revolutionize how we thought about life, understood the universe, and moreover, understood our nature and its connection to the divine. So today, scientists are utilizing every possible means they can contrive to duplicate the Big Bang, as they've termed the original impetus of creation, and to discovering the God particle. When you think of all the billions of dollars and time that could have been saved had they simply studied the works of Blavatsky's two volumes of The Secret Doctrine, all of their questions would have been answered. Such matters were gone into in great detail. The origins of the universe, of the cosmos, as well as man, are detailed. And it's done by the ones who know rather than the intellectual guessers and speculators. So anyway, the merging of spirituality and theology through scientific discovery and validation is what the Aquarian Age is all about. The Master DK, to coin a phrase, has described science as the vehicle of revelation, whereas in the Piscean Age, it was religion. In the Aquarian age, it is science that is the vehicle of revelation. So quantum mechanics or quantum physics is apparently serving as that vehicle of revelation today. Now, what does that mean to you and me? It means that the energy of intention that we bring to anything determines the outcome. It puts all of the responsibility upon our own shoulders for our own life, relationships, and experiences. Or simply put, change the way you look at anything, and the thing you are looking at changes. So, the avatars and all enlightened masters have stated again and again that the world we see outwardly exists nowhere but within the mind. Consider the room you are sitting in, the people you are relating with, the sky filled with trillions of starry worlds and beings, the atoms you observe under a microscope. All of that is a projection of the mind and affected by your observation. Now, we could have some tea with that. That's fodder for much contemplation and pondering. But now another factor quantum physics is explaining is quantum entanglement, that all of our personally projected universes in which we live in kind of like a personal bubble of reality, all of our little projected mini universes are entangled, intertwined, and commingled. Biophysicist Rupert Sheldrake from the UK has called this unifying factor the morphogenetic field. Wilhelm Reich called it orgon energy. And the esotericists and theosophists, have termed this subtle connecting energy the etheric field, or the subplanes, the etheric subplanes, which are four in number, that exist in the sevenfold physical dimension, of which only the first three subplanes are visible and tangible. Science is just beginning to discover this other dimension of physicality. Every plane of consciousness has seven dimensions. On the physical plane, we have the material dimension, and we have the gaseous dimension, water dimension, and the gaseous dimension, and then we have the four etheric subplanes. That is the source of all dis-ease. Dis-ease enters the etheric energy body first before it ever manifests into the physical. That's why the diagnostics of the future will be based upon understanding and seeing the etheric body, studying that. That's really the energy that a chiropractor is working with when an adjustment is made to the spine. The misalignment comes from a state of consciousness that's not in harmony with the authentic self, which causes a tension of the muscles and ligaments that throws the bone out of place and gives you pain in your back or wherever. So understanding that subtle level of energy is so vital to our moving into the Aquarian age, which is the mastery of the air element. Just as the Piscean age saw us master the oceans and the water element, so the Aquarian age means the mastering of space and the etheric fields beyond, just beyond the physical. Those of us from other worlds, we largely manifest in our etheric bodies. So it's important that you understand that the life that we are seeking to move into more harmonious relationship with is primarily operating in etheric forms. The devas, the nature spirits, the spirits of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether, all exist in that subtle plane that we call the etheric. Many of us are developing etheric vision, which is a refinement of the physical eyesight, where you're beginning to see the energy outlines of objects like trees and mountains. You're beginning to see into the next dimension. Medical clairvoyance is a form of that, where you can look into the energy field. Shamans often use this ability as well, where they discern the energy and the etheric, and they're able to clear those fields. So, what all of this means to you and me is that all life is interrelated and intertwined in oneness. We are inseparably connected with God and with one another, because in truth there is only one here manifesting. Through all of these countless forms, there's but one Atma, one divine spirit. So realizing God simply means a full recognition and embodiment of that oneness. And that oneness will ultimately be realized by every single person. Now, when that realization occurs at the soul level, the separated sense of the self disappears. And you begin to feel and sense and experience that same self in everyone. That's where you can truly say that you love your brother as yourself, or your sister as yourself, because you recognize that same self. That's why we say namaste. The divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. But when that realization occurs in the monadic or spirit level, the entire universe disappears. And that is when the egoic, separative mind has been completely dissolved in pure being. In that state we call existence, awareness, bliss, or Satchitananda. In that state, one experiences the self as abiding in everyone, everywhere. You are that one spirit abiding and animating every life form. So rather than a loss of individuality, you become the one without a second, the absolute in which everything has its being and becoming. And that's the purpose, you see, of body, mind, and soul vehicles for the self to realize in them supreme being and becoming. They are your vehicles through which you reveal to yourself the one self. That alone is. There's not many here. There's only one in many forms. So, humanity today is highly developed and integrated as a whole. The children, in particular, they truly are entering a world for which they are well prepared, and most of us are not. They will do just fine as the energies continue to advance more and more into this higher paradigm. The rest of us will probably have more difficulty because of our many years of conditioning. But the important thing to bear in mind that humanity has become, as a whole, a planetary center of consciousness in that great being in whom we live and move and have our existence, that we would call God or the grand heavenly man, which is the term given in the Alice Bailey books. As I have said before, levels of consciousness and centers of consciousness nest like so many interlocking babushka dolls, those Russian dolls that fit one within another, within another, within another. If you can see the continuum of the manifested forms of the one self that we call God, you would see a chain of interrelationship in which we are all truly quantumly entwined. So, humanity is becoming a universal collective light bearer and way shower. We're still moving into that. We haven't quite landed there in time space, but in the eternal now, it's already a done deal. Humanity is highly sensitive and responsive to the collective, social, cultural, ideological conditioning. And it is partly due to this sensitivity that so many people turn to addictive substances in an attempt to at least dull the impact of the ubiquitous and overwhelming stimuli, or escape it altogether. And it's that same motive that prompts others to seek out meditational approaches, yoga, sports, or artistic involvement, which by far is the better choice of stress management. But the future of the human race is great indeed. Regardless of what anyone would say, humanity is doing just great, according to the Mahatmas. And those great souls that oversee and guard the human life wave as it matriculates into higher states of realization. The future of humanity eventually will move beyond this planet as a race of divinely infused and aware light beings, going forth to generate and populate new worlds and realms. So bypass the superficial appraisals and judgments so many cast upon our human state. And just know that everything is moving steadily and irrevocably at this point into the light of higher understanding and awareness. The human life wave on this planet is proceeding just fine according to the divine plan. And according to those who are fully God-realized, there's nothing wrong with the world at all. It is only the mind of the observer that requires purification. The purification of the mind is a task, I think, before every one of us. Certainly before every would-be bearer of light. Truly, it is all in the mind of the beholder. Whatever faults we perceive in the world or in another person are the very things that we have yet come to embrace and forgive and accept in our own nature. That's what the ego does, and it projects it outside on them or it or an adversary, an outer enemy. But the only enemy anywhere is one's own unhealed mind. So the worldview one entertains resides entirely in the mind. The mind is a field of conditioned energy that we have individual access to tap into as individuals, although it is a collective creation. And like energy attracts like energy. It is co-shared, co-created. It's our corporate field of illusion, our Maya. So enlightenment results with bringing in more and more of the divine light and sound currents of energy into the mind. This occurs through practicing spiritual exercises and soul transcendence, where you move the awareness above the field of agitation, and you simply witness it. You just watch it and notice without attachment, without grasping, without judging, without commentary. And through bringing in more and more of this higher soul awareness, the contents are displaced within the mind. The conditioned sediment within our individual mental body is displaced by this higher awareness. It's much like running clean water in a glass of muddy water until all the mud is replaced by clear, pure water. That is the state Buddhists refer to as the clear mind, or Rigpa. The clear, purified mental body then reflects the Bodhi, which is the divine intelligence principle, which then manifests as spiritual awareness through the individual and out into the world. This is how all of the Mahatmas and realized beings operate. They have become purified of all ego, of all self-interest, and live solely as agents of the divine will. As agents of the divine source, They can elect to work upon any plane of consciousness or dimension, or in and out of time, or here on earth or elsewhere throughout the vastness of creation. So the creation one functions out of at that level is beyond the one we think of as the ego's projection of creation, which is what we see when we open our eyes now and look at the so-called outer world. True creation is entered when one moves into the higher God states of realization and enters the field of the imperishable star realms of the absolute creator and real creation. This has also been called the far country of the God realms. So we are gradually drawn into the form of purification that is best for us. And it varies with each person. It covers every area of our life as we begin to refine our states of consciousness and our vibratory frequency. And it's for each of us to discern what we need to do to bring greater and greater light and balance and harmony and beauty into our lives. It's a gradual process. It's being monitored and overseen by countless realized divine beings that love you as their own self. Because to you, to them, you are their divine self. So this is hopefully a great reassurance to each one of you that you're doing just fine because it doesn't depend entirely upon you. Yes, you can practice awareness. Yes, you can work to bring in greater purification to your physical and emotional and mental and etheric bodies. You can meditate and chant and purify and upgrade your diet and your behavior and your patterns of expression and speech. But remember, there is that greater one in whom we live and move and have our being that is awakening in you, as you, and through you. And that is the one beloved, the one Paramatma, the one inner master, the one teacher of truth, the one Rinpoche, the precious jewel in the center of the lotus of your divine beingness. And so, you are God's embodiment, projected into time and space to give tangible expression to immortal love. That is simply what we are and who we are and our purpose here. We are immortal love. And love is the eternal cohesive factor in all of existence. And so, I convey the blessings of all the spiritual masters, the Ashtar Command, the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood, the Avatar lineage, and all of the countless men and women who have attained self and God realization. They are the parts of us that have already awakened. They are the oneness that is now extending into each of our minds. and hearts, dissolving forevermore all sense of alienation and separation. Enter into that state, for the door is open and the way is already prepared. And you've already done this out of time. So let's go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Blessings and grace to one and all. Namaste.